This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, who's starting this? Someone needs to start this officially.
Someone does.
Everyone must be so confused. What's going on?
Something's happening. There are different voices on this feed. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Well, hi.
Hello. Hello. Hello from Mockery Manor. Should we say that?
Yeah, we
you
can
should.
Say that.
You can, yeah, you should say that.
And who are you from Mockery Manor?
So I'm Lindsay. I'm the writer and co-director and co-producer.
And I'm Lawrence. I'm the composer and sound designer and editor. And we're both in Mockery Manor. We wear a lot of hats in this production.
And we here are the three narrators and creators of the science fantasy podcast Midst. My name is Zen.
I'm Sarah.
And I am Matt. And the three of us, with our six hands, produce all of the various assorted Midst-related content between the podcast itself, the extra bonus materials, the appendices, some of the art.
And we have been fans of you two and of Mockery Manor for a very long time. So we are incredibly excited to be talking to you today and doing this feed swap.
Well, likewise. I mean, Midst, we were just saying before this, was one of the first podcasts that we discovered when we were just sort of starting out in this medium. And I remember listening to it and thinking, oh, this is very cool. And it was one of the things that made us really realize, oh, you can kind of do anything you like in this audio drama space. There's not really anyone telling you that you can and can't do things that in traditional broadcast mediums, they'd go, oh, no, you can't get away with that. That's too confusing.
That's true.
Oh, gosh,
no rule
that
book.
Means so much. When we first set out to begin recording Midst, we were very kind of initially paralyzed trying to figure out how to create the voice of a modern audio drama. We were sort of, I think, often painting ourselves into corners, feeling like we needed to emulate traditional, like, National Public Radio, you know, BBC-style audio dramas, narrating characters moving from place to place, like opening of doors, all of that
footsteps
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And when we came upon Mockery Manor, when you guys like first shouted us out on social media and we were literally starstruck by this like, other podcast, like finding out about our little indie project, we were just over the moon about it and so excited to dive into the incredible world of Mockery Manor and its like environment of the 1980s, the characters, like the music, the sound. We can wax poetic. I guess we could start now.
It's legitimately
have started.
One of my favorite podcasts, you guys. You've created
truly.
Something so unique and really just delightful. Like it's just, I sit there with a stupid smile on my face the whole time when I'm listening to it, except during the very scary and stressful parts, which there definitely are plenty of. But it's a crime slash mystery genre, but it's also extremely cozy and
funny
and warm.
It's such a
and
great
human
mix.
Yeah.
Well, it's so nice to do cross-genre stuff. And like Lawrence was saying, like, no one's telling you what to do. And the creative freedom is great, isn't it? I was even told just before I wrote the first episode, I was trying to write a novel. And I spoke to someone in that kind of industry. And they said, don't set it in the 1980s. Because I asked if I could set something in the 1980s. And they were like, no one is buying that. No one's interested. And then, of course, we did Mockery. And then Stranger Things came out as well.
Yeah,
and I was like, what?
Yeah, no one's Netflix isn't doing anything set in the 80s. No one's interested. Weird absolutely take that was.
But you get told that weird, all kinds of weird things, don't you? You know, you get told rules and things like you absolutely have to do this and you have to do that. And then you start doing an audio drama and you realize, actually, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Also,
and
there's really no authority to ask.
No, yeah, it's true.
That's really true. And I think our two shows are a good example of perhaps not underestimating the audience. Like, you, it's okay to challenge listeners a little bit and maybe confuse them for a second in order to kind of bring them back.
People.
Yeah, and then you, a couple of moments later, you bring them back and it all makes sense. And I think a lot of the time in audio drama, people are afraid to let there be any ambiguity whatsoever. And I think one of the things that I really like about Midst is how in this sort of unusual three narrators sharing both the story and the characters thing that you do, it creates a sort of an uncertainty. Like, you've got because that you kind of contradict each other sometimes and go, well, it's not quite like that.
That's really unique.
Yeah.
How the narrators talk to each other. I've never seen that before, because you get multiple points of view in novels sometimes, but you never see the narrators actually like interacting on the page in that meta space. And that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes both the narrators makes the narrators sort of slightly mischievous and a little unreliable, which is great, because you're describing mischievous and sort of unreliable, unpredictable characters. And it's just a really interesting way of telling a story.
Yeah, really nicely layered.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a long and winding road to find our way to that voice. And what is your long and winding road in the creation of Mockery Manor? Tell us, Lawrence, Lindsay, how did you arrive at doing this? Where did Mockery Manor come from? Can you speak to its origins and how it took the shape that it did?
It's clearly based on a lot of things that you're passionate about. I mean, the passion really shines through in the music, in the portrayal of this very particular kind of like regional theme park vibe.
Well, we love a regional theme park.
We love a theme park. And the UK is full of bizarre little theme parks, as is the US, of course. But I think one of the things that we wanted to explore is, you know, we wanted to play with recognizable things from Disney parks and Universal parks and things that, you know, most people who have been to those big theme parks will recognize, but also the slightly more unusual sort of roadside attraction feeling, or the kind of, yeah, regional parks.
Yeah, often run by slightly eccentric people.
Yeah, who right. don't
they
really
want to
be there.
Aspiring to that high polish Disneyland tier, but maybe they're not quite able to achieve that.
Yeah, the ambition is really interesting to go, I'm going to have a theme park, it's going to be great, but I have no kind of like visual idea of how this is going to look. And, you know, you can actually see how it's sort of grown in bits and pieces, a lot of these theme parks, bits bought from one place and borrowed from another.
There's a theme park near us called Alton Towers, which is essentially, if you're not familiar with it, we would advise having a looking it up online, because it's about as close to the real life Mockery Manor as anything could possibly be. In fact,
is it operational?
It is operational.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the UK's leading theme parks, I think.
It's probably the number one theme park. But there's a slightly unsettling, sinister edge to everything they do. They lean into the creepiness in the same way that we do, which is good.
Yeah, a really old building right in the middle of it.
Do they have costumed mascots?
Oh, you know it. Sure they do. I mean, when we were researching this and researching Alton Towers, before and after we were making Mockery Manor, we discovered things that genuinely happened in the history of that theme park that we didn't even know about, that were like strikingly similar to the events of season one of Mockery Manor.
Wow.
Really?
Okay, this is bringing up so many questions for me. Did you go around visiting theme parks as part of intentional research for Mockery Manor, or was that already something that you had a wealth of knowledge about just from your own personal interests that you were able to draw on from the jump?
Yeah, we didn't realize we were researching, really. but we spent many years researching very, very assiduously.
Yeah, yeah.
Even got married in a theme park, in fact.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, we got married just outside of Epcot in Florida. And it was a lot more tasteful than everyone thinks.
Yeah, and no one
were you
murdered.
Wearing mouse ears?
No. We weren't, but we did theme ourselves to the 1920s vibe of the boardwalk where we got married.
Oh, that so is we, tasteful.
Yeah, we committed ourselves to theming in that way.
That's although so no, beautiful. No twins popping up anywhere. And...
No, and no murders that we know of.
No.
Thankfully.
Spectacular. Well, if I may, in my opinion, and I know the opinion of all of us here on the MIDS team, and I think any listener of Mockery Manor, very notable about Mockery Manor in particular, beyond its spectacular writing, acting, is its incredibly distinctive, fun, and fantastic sound and music.
Oh, please, can we talk about the music?
As the creator of MIDS sound and music, I was blown out the door, to use a colloquialism, when I first heard Mockery Manor. And also, frankly, Lawrence, came to fear you because of your inhuman wow. ability to create such a wide range of spectacular original music, fantastic sound design. Can you tell us a little bit more about how
Mockery... How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do how this?
Explain
do
you yourself.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, I suppose my day job, if you want to call it that, is I am a composer. That's what I do. So one of the things that we were thinking when we started doing all of this is, you know, Lindsay being a writer and director and me being a sound designer and composer, we're kind of well placed to build an audio drama. We've kind of got all of the bits and pieces that we need to do that. And we always have a lot of chats about the music, and we like to sometimes you'll even say to me when we're brainstorming story ideas, what music do you want to write?
Yeah, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know where to start, so let's get Lawrence to start this ball rolling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and also just when you invent a world, you can also invent pop stars, and then you have to invent their songs and things. So that's what we did with Mockery.
Yeah, and we mm-hmm. thought, you know, we can't, there's no way we're going to be able to license a bunch of 80s music, so let's just make our own.
And
so
that was really fun, wasn't it?
Ah, one of the most fun bits of doing Mockery Manor was going, all right, we're going to have a sort of Kylie style one, and then mm-hmm. a sort of Joy Division style one, and then a kind of Jason Donovan, just playing with all the recognizable sounds of the 80s.
Oh, and they're legitimately so catchy.
Yes,
what you've created.
Truly.
And not just the like pop music that you've created, but also the jingles for the yeah. theme park itself. I you know, sometimes I'll be minding my own business, and then into my head will pop the parade song just out of nowhere.
Yes. That's yes. probably, well, definitely the most irritating of all of these.
That's probably why.
I also love it, yes. Routinely, I'll just be like, take your places. It's so good. It's so good. It creates such a sense of place. Like, you immediately know where you are, not only in time, but also it just, like, creates a vibe within.
It's so
this...
cheeky. I mean, you yeah. know that you're in a scary mystery podcast, and the music is so cheerfully winking at you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always a thing that we like to do. We try and kind of, in a slightly Kubricky way, I guess, mash together music and context that don't really go together.
I think being scared or unhappy in a really, really cheerful place is a lot of fun. That juxtaposition. It's kind of like, let's yeah. put someone in the worst position of their life in somewhere where it's almost like compulsory joy.
Yeah, maddeningly perky.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's so good.
I think something that MIDST and Mockery Manor share, though their settings and genres are obviously pretty different, is a clear love of the absurd.
Oh, totally. And I love that there's a very strong thread of humor that runs through all of the plot beats of MIDST.
Right. Just because you're telling a story that veers into darkness now and then doesn't mean you can't have fun while you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's such an undefinable genre, MIDST, I think. A kind of noirish, sci-fi, gangster, space, western.
We've often joked that it's kind of a financial thriller, which we did not set out to do by any means.
I suppose it is, yeah, it, disguised as all those other things. And one of the things that we think we're listening to, am I right in thinking that it started life as a game, like a role-play game?
Yeah. More or less.
It feels like it carries the spirit of that into an audio drama format, which is very cool.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how you kind of found your way into writing it, and, you know, how that kind of developed as the season went along.
Well, you were saying earlier that you hadn't really heard a direct comparison for the type of narration we do. But really, the best comparison that there is running some kind of TTRPG. If you've heard the way that a game master talks, just imagine if there were two of them or three of them and they had to kind of negotiate and share screen time with each other while they were spinning this story for you. And we all don't come from an acting background, but we had done plenty of gaming, so that's really what we were drawing on.
Yeah. Similarly to what you were saying earlier, Lawrence and Lindsay, about the, like, picking a piece of music that you were sort of enthusiastic to introduce, similarly with Myst, we were all kind of, like, sitting around thinking, like, oh, what would be a cool kind of thing that we could put together? Our very first chat was, like, just at a coffee shop and kind of, like, kids bringing toys to a sandbox. We were all kind of throwing ideas into the cauldron, being like, oh, what if we were doing sort of this like science fiction-y story with unlikable characters who had terrible things happen to them, but it's also a little quirky and fun. And
what if the cosmos had really bizarre physics? We were really just like making a list of things that we loved and were excited about and figuring how many of them we could jam into the same story.
That's exactly how we work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And it's kind of that like necessity is the mother of invention thing a little bit, where like by creating some limiting framework around what you want to do, it kind of drives the like, oh, well, then obviously the characters are going to do this and be based on their context. This is how they'll react and change throughout the course of the story. So when it came time to figure out how, like, what is the story of the show? How do we want to craft this? We sort of started to realize that rather than just doing a straight up live play, we kind of wanted to take that TTRPG game mastering approach to it and think about like, okay, what is sort of the overarching like plot skeleton that we would like to see the characters move through? How does that all sort of go, you know, toward this end point that we had in mind?
What if we took that energy but allowed ourselves to be a little bit more intentional and crafted about what we were telling?
One unique feature about Midst that I'll bring to the attention of our listeners here today is that Midst is primarily improvised. The story and plot structure are loosely outlined, so we know in any given episode of the show generally what we want to accomplish, but all the narration and the character dialogue is, I would say, 90% improvised on the fly at the time of recording. So we are surprising ourselves and each other with these characters and what these characters choose to do.
Wow, that's
mind-blowing.
That is a revelation. We would have had no idea. We assumed there would be a degree of looseness to the script, but we assumed it was a scripted story.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm super impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a feature of Midst, but it's not the product. So we don't bill ourselves as an improv show, because we do use scripting at times for things. If there's certain beats we need to hit or certain information we need to relate, we do script some things. But coming from a background where we enjoy, you know, the playing of games and the telling of stories that way, and games are improvisational. You're just sort of doing it on the fly. You don't know what's going to happen. And we wanted to bring that liveliness to Midst. And so that's partly why Midst has kind of this unpredictable squirreliness that I think is unique to its style.
That makes so much sense.
We are surprising ourselves at every turn. And if it sounds like we are startled by what's happening in the episodes as we go, it's because we are. We are astounded by our own characters sometimes doing things we were not expecting. And we've tried to continue that improvisational feel throughout the entire show, even now as we are approaching season 3 of Midst, or we're within season 3 of Midst.
It has such a sense of structure, and it just seems so incredibly well thought out that, I thought it would be scripted.
Well, the structure certainly is planned.
It's amazing. Making me want to play a TTRPG with you, because I think you do an amazing job.
You heard it here first, folks.
You would love that.
So there are 3 seasons of Muckery Manor out now for you to hear. And we have plans for a season 4. We don't know when that will be, but we hope to do season 4 before too long. And we also have various mini seasons, one which is on the main feed in between seasons 2 and 3, exploring things from the character exploring things from the point of view of one of our two main characters, Betty. And then there's another little mini series, which you can get from our Ko-fi page, which is for supporters only. But we would advise don't listen to that until you've heard all the rest of it, because spoilers are abound.
That's right. So all this material is meant to be listened to sequentially. You can't just pop around.
I would say so.
And they all take place in a new setting and exploring a different type of theme park. That isn't spoilers to say, is it?
No, not at all. No. And also, there's a slight genre shift each time as well. So I'd say the first one is sort of like a slasher mystery. And the second one is a bit of a gangster flick, in a way.
Gangster thriller.
And the third one is a detective sort of glass onion type thing.
I am halfway through season two myself right now, but very interested in the look of season three.
We are big fans of season three. We enjoyed making it a lot.
It's also in a cowboy kind of theme park as well, and that was a lot of fun.
Well, as creators of a space western, that piques our interest.
And can I just draw special attention to the amount of excellent twanging guitar work that is present in Midst. That speaks to me very, very deeply.
That's all Zen.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's my excuse for making Midst. I just wanted to do a lot of twanging guitar, so we figured, well, what show can we make so I can twang my guitar as often as possible? What if it was a Western in space?
That sounds like our process, exactly.
Yeah, what music do we want to make this week? What if it was space spaghetti Western? Sure, okay, now it's a space Western. Congratulations, decision made.
Let's make a podcast out of the things we like to do already.
Well, there is a lot of fantastic music coming your way, listeners on the Midst feed. You will be hearing episode one of Mockery Manor after this interview here, and oh my goodness, so many good tunes, so many great performances, such a great show lies in store for you.
Mm-hmm. This first episode is so gripping. It is going to grab you right away, and I tell you, you are going to go immediately running to listen to episode two. It's amazing.
You will have no choice but to ride the coaster, because it is spectacular.
And listeners on the Mockery Manor feed, we hope you will enjoy episode one of Midst, and then jump aboard from there and see where the adventure takes you.
Mm-hmm. And our episodes are pretty short, so if you're interested, we highly recommend actually listening to the first three episodes before you make up your mind, because they are released as kind of a set. We do things
kind
in threes
package.
Here at Midst.
Yeah, the first three together are sort of collectively the pilot for Midst. New episodes of Midst are releasing every Wednesday for subscribers on midst.co and on your favorite podcast streaming platforms, as well as animated video episodes on the Critical Role YouTube channel. We have some very beautiful, lightly animated video editions of every single episode, so you can also listen with your eyeballs if you are so inclined. Midst is currently airing its third and final season. Seasons one and two are already available and are ready for you to enjoy at any time. So swing by Midst. We hope you will enjoy. And also consider becoming a subscriber at midst.co if you'd like to receive early access to episodes, ad-free episodes, lots of behind-the-scenes exclusive content, lore-expanding bonus materials, music downloads, and more.
Mockery Manor is available in all of the usual podcast places. You can also go to longcatmedia.com and find out information about our other three shows, which are The Ballad of Anne and Mary, which is a pirate musical, Madame Magenta, which is would you like to explain Magenta?
We can never explain Magenta.
Yeah.
It's a sort of improvised comedy, mystical load of nonsense
chat show / drunken audiobook. And we also have
amazing.
Our horror anthology series Magenta Presents, which is our newest one,
where aforesaid drunken mystic introduces stories of horror.
Incredible. Kind of a crypt keeper vibe is
a crypt
very
keeper.
Bringing to mind.
We try not to say Elvira, but it's basically
crypt keeper it's crypt keeper with Elvira's rack.
Oh, nice.
Whoa.
Oh, just what was missing from my life.
Yeah. There you go. We'll send that visual away with you.
Thank you so much.
Splendid. And yes, indeed, thank you, Lawrence and Lindsay of Mockery Manor. Thank you for joining us for this chat today. What a pleasure to speak to you. And we cannot wait for all of these listeners here on the Midst feed to enjoy the first episode of Mockery Manor.
And thank you, folks. It's such a pleasure to chat to you and meet you after all this time of listening
to
Midst.
Likewise.
Everybody, Mockery Manor, Midst, here goes nothing. Please enjoy.
Enough of listening to us talk this way. Listen to us talk in another way.
Another way.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, shall I? Bloody ridiculous. Hello? Katie, is that you? Katie? Oh, oh Jesus. Oh, you scared the crap out of me, you little shit. Come here, come on. Come on. Oh, aren't you lovely? Oh, fluffy little thing. Oh, and you brought a friend. Hello. And another one. Good heavens. Well, you can all keep me company while we wait for that stupid woman. I know. Isn't this a silly place to meet? No, I'm not scared of her. I'm a brave girl. Who's a lovely little brave girl? Who's a brave girl?
Welcome to Dreamland. A place to explore your slumber of night.
Stupid place.
Freud.
Oh, for God's sake.
The royal road to the unconscious. Can you follow the road?
Oh, I've had enough of this. Stop this. Do you hear me, Katie? I've got better things to do than wait for you, you mad bitch. It isn't funny! Do you hear me?
Ground floor.
Oh. Oh my God.
Harvey, my baby. Oh, my darling. What has she done to you? What did she do? What are you doing? Turn it off! Please, turn it off! Please! Why are you doing this? I don't understand! Please, turn it off!
Thank you.
there is a house deep in the woods where the sound of screaming fills the air.
This summer, come on down to Mockery Manor Amusement Park for the grand reopening. Spend a fun-filled family day out with furry feline mascots Queen Boo Boos. And her hapless page boy, Mr. Crackles.
Trousers, meowses.
There's something for everyone at Mockery Manor, for you crazy kids. For Mum, Dad, Granny, and Grandpa.
Ooh, a bar. Pint of sherry, please.
And let's not forget those ghastly teens. This year, Halloween starts extra early. Every Saturday, the park opens late for Mockery Manor's Spooky Nights.
Spooky Nights!
It'll scare the pants off you.
Stop it, Terry!
Oh.
Mockery Manor, where childhood never dies. It just goes on and on.
There you have it. The first ever television ad for Mockery Manor. Hands up who's seen it at home. Oh, come on, come on. It's been on air since April. Some of you must have... Aha, Parker. Thoughts?
My mum really likes the new logo.
Glad to hear it. And your father, what did he think?
Well, he's dead.
Oh.
But he would have loved the new roller coaster.
Ah, yes. The Roswell Crash Coaster. Very much a dad pleaser. Even the dead ones. Very expensive, too. Very expensive indeed. Won't tell you how much, but let's just say more than any of you could make in a lifetime. All made possible by Mockery Manor's new partnership with Wizard Entertainment. Round of applause for Wizard! Let's see some gratitude, please. None of you would have a summer job without Wizard. Come on!
Hooray for Wizard!
Thank you, Parker. Yes, things are going to change around here. 1989 is the year that Mockery Manor heads straight to the top of the theme park charts.
Just get to the chair.
Well, 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 who's this creeping in? As if we had not eyes to see her. Hello.
Hello.
You must be Betty Armstrong's sister. Goodness, identical twins, how confusing. Let me see if I can spot any differences. Oh yes, Betty arrived for staff training at the correct time, and you did not.
Sorry, I tried to get there in time,
Let's see how late you are. It's currently 9:47 a.m, so that makes you 47 minutes and 3 days late.
Naughty.
Training started on Monday, young lady. It is now Thursday.
I know, I'm really sorry. Something came up.
Oh, don't you worry. Your sister told us all about it.
She did?
I said you had women's problems.
Women's problems?
No one wants to know the details, thank you.
I do.
That's enough. This isn't a girl's changing room.
Wish you would.
Oh, grow up.
Quiet! Settle down. Who threw that? Sonia, feet off the desk. The next person to speak will be fired. You hear that, Miss Armstrong? Silence. Since the start of training, I have fired 2 new members of staff, and before the week is out, I'll do it again. And I won't lose sleep over it either. A theme park can be a very dangerous place. There's no room for error, no excuse for mucking about. Now, I've made an exception for you, young Kate, as a favour to your lovely sister. But you're on probation.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, but... That's not my name. It's JJ, not Kate.
I beg your pardon?
I changed it. I'm JJ now.
Can I change my name to Mickey Mouse, sir?
I changed it legally.
Good grief.
Fancy changing her name.
Just shut up.
Quiet down, please. Carol, amend the records and give JJ a wizard induction manual.
Thanks.
All right, let's get on. Everyone turn to chapter 41, Bodily Fluids. Yes, Parker.
Well, it's just an idea, sir, but maybe I should take the new girl round the park? It's all turned on at the moment for the testers. I could give her a little, you know, like a crash course.
But you'll miss fluids.
Well, you read it tonight.
Well, seeing as it's you, Parker, that might just work. All right then, off you go. Be back by lunchtime.
Can I go too, sir?
No, Sonia, you may not. Come on, eyes down, back to fluids. Who can tell me what a fluid is?
JJ, yeah? No. It's a big bag.
I'm living on site.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm in the lake house. So is your sister.
First up, blood.
Shall I leave my bag?
Yeah, just get it later.
Where might you encounter blood at Mockery Manor?
Ta-da! Fancy Land, one of five different lands in the park, and the furthest point from the training room. Time to relax. Do you smoke?
No, I don't. Well, actually, yeah, go on.
Good girl. Tell you what, if smoking doesn't get me, this place will.
Oh yeah? This place a bit of a dump then?
Ah, it's great. Been every summer for 6 years.
6 years?
I started when I was 13 in a Mr. Crackles suit. The old manager was brilliant. Cash in hand, no questions asked. Now Wizard's in charge, it's all by the book. How old are you then?
18. Almost. Been getting into pubs since I was 14 though.
Oh yeah? Your cig's gone out. Here.
God, that manager's a bit of a tosser, isn't he?
Yeah, old Norton. We just call him Sir, or Pervster, behind his back.
Oh, he's a perv.
Yeah, you should see how he looks at your sister. Which is weird, because he don't look at you like that.
Maybe he's attracted to her punctuality.
Yeah.
So, are you going to tell me about this place, or what?
All right, keen bean. Didn't know you really wanted to learn. Right, so, this part is Fancy Land. Not fantasy, but fancy, you know, like... La-di-da, I hate poor people.
The peasants are revolting.
Aren't they just?
Release the corgis.
Tally-ho. You're a little bit posh though, aren't you? Well, your sister is anyway. How come you two sound different?
Well, Mum and Dad sent her to boarding school years ago. She's kind of wild. They thought it'd straighten her out.
Did it work?
Well, now she just gets away with it because she's posh. Mum always seems scared of her. Practically curtsies when she comes in the room.
So Betty's like the bad twin, is she?
Yeah, and I'm the good twin. Or I was, anyway. Oh, that looks fun. Is that a teacup ride?
Yeah, kind of. The debutante's waltz, it's called. You sit in them tubs and you spin round and round on that track. We all call it the exorcist, though, because the kids come off spraying vom like they're possessed. And over there, that's Prince Philip's carousel.
From Sleeping Beauty or
no.
Actual Prince Philip?
Actual Prince Philip. The whole carousel is a fox hunt, see? You sit on an horse or an hound, and then the pack chases that stuffed fox round.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
You won't like Empire Land, then.
Oh, what's this?
Go on, press it.
It's champagne o'clock. Head on over to the Queen Mother's tipsy tea rooms for some lovely drinky pools.
Over 18s only, no champagne available. Intoxicated guests will be asked to leave.
Oh.
There you go.
There's another one. Look. Oh, wow, they're everywhere.
Mockery is a permutation of mockery, M-O-C-H-R-I-E, a Scottish surname of high repute.
The oh, no one cares, mate.
Shall I hear it?
Are you joking?
Don't you like history?
Don't see the point of it.
Oh, I love it. History is... Well, we are history. Think about it. We're standing here because of everyone and everything that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
Their choices, triumphs, disasters, all leading here to this... weird fake land. I just think it's fascinating.
Oh, I get it. You're a swot.
No, I'm not. At least I'm not a suck up.
I know how to work the system, that's all. You suck up to the management, you get an easy ride. Arrive 3 days late. Don't know about that. Why were you so late anyway? Absorbed in an history book?
No, I was, Oh, hey, the music's changing.
Oh yeah, we're going into Roswell now. Brand new land, courtesy of Wizard Entertainment and their total lack of taste. Half of it's still under construction.
Get a move on, lads. We're opening in 3 days.
Piss off.
Oh, you don't have to press all the bloody buttons.
All right, listen up. Something crash landed around these parts and I ain't talking about no airplane. It's your job to find out more before something happens to the good people of Roswell. Oh, sweet mother, something's coming in the door. It's gonna eat me, and then it's gonna eat you!
It's gonna eat you! That's so lame!
Well, stop pressing them then.
All right, Grumpy. They're harmless.
Oh, they're stupid. Well, most of them. Not all of them.
Oh, yeah?
Dreamland buttons, there. different.
Play Phil Collins, do they?
Oh, mock all you want, you'll see.
So mysterious.
I'm not being mysterious. It's just some things are easier to show you than tell you about, that's all.
Show me then.
If you insist. Come on.
Like a portal in the woods. This is Dreamland.
Well, I mean, you go around the back, you see it's just a big warehouse covered in concrete tree branches, but from the front, dead effective, isn't it?
I heard Dreamland and I thought a fluffy Disney ripoff.
Yeah, I know.
But this... Why didn't they show Dreamland in the new advert?
Because it scares the crap out of the kids. Crying, screaming, mums filing complaints left, right and centre. Wizard hates it. They knocked half of it down to make way for that Roswell. It's only the horny teens that like Dreamland now. Nice excuse to put an arm round your girl, know what I mean? Oi, oi, where are you going?
Inside! Come on! Wow.
Wait for me!
You don't want to be in here alone, trust me.
How far does this go?
Loops around the old building. Gets a lot smaller too. You've got to crawl the last bit. And then there's a slide down to the basement.
Ah!
What is it?
I saw a face. But it was me.
Oh yeah, there's mirrors in between the vines. Makes you feel like you're being watched, doesn't it? You scared?
A bit. Gonna put your arm round me?
Well, we are teens, and I don't know about you, but I am always
alone.
Oh.
Alone.
Oh my God.
Alone. Alone.
What is that?
Don't push these buttons; they just go off.
Well, that was your voice. They're recording us.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like this immersion in your own brain, like as if you could walk around your own dreams.
So. What happens if we don't speak?
Then it plays tapes of other people. It's even creepier if you ask me.
Wow, it gets really narrow.
I hope you're not claustrophobic.
Oh.
Ceiling gets really low too.
Ow! Oh, so it does.
Time to crawl. On your knees, love.
Heard that one before.
Bet you have. Getting a good view, like what you see.
If you fart...
Oh, don't tempt me.
Don't you dare!
Fart!
Right, here's the slide. Face first, baby. Last one down is to shake perfs the...
Let's go again.
No, no going backwards. Only way out is forwards.
Oh, no, a maze. Oh, I hate mazes.
Well, I know the quickest route if you want to cheat.
Oh, yes, please.
All right, follow me. Oh, yeah, by the way, the buttons in the maze, they aren't on the motion sensors, so you don't have to worry about any of them going off. Oh, why'd you do that?
Welcome to Dreamland, a place to explore your slumbering mind. Freud called dream interpretation the royal road to the unconscious. Can you follow the road to the centre of the maze?
Oh, Freud.
Pretty deep, huh?
It's just weird and... ooh, creepy.
You know, there was this one time, these kids came in here and they did a load of mushrooms and they totally lost their minds and they ate each other. True story.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm serious.
And I bet you can still hear their screams sometimes, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Let's try another.
Oh, can we not? I thought you wanted to get out of it.
Welcome to Dreamland. A place to explore your slumbering mind.
It's the same.
Come Freud on, let's get to the next level.
Interpretation, the
left
royal
ear.
Road to the unconscious.
Yep. Then a right.
Can you follow?
Squeeze for it.
To the centre.
Another right. Okay, push this wall. Straight ahead. Take the third door. Then right fork. Oh, stop pushing buttons, JJ.
Katie, is that you? Katie? It isn't funny! Do you hear me? Please, turn it off! Please! Why are you doing this?
I don't understand. Please turn it off.
Parker? She said my name. Parker? Parker? Wait for me! Slow down! I almost lost you.
Left ear. And here we go. Centre of the maze. You alright?
Yeah. I'm fine. Is that a ride?
Yeah, it is.
Ground floor.
Mockery Manor's Great Glass Elevator, room for six only. Fill up from the back, please secure your seatbelts. That was my job last year. Riding a lift up and down all day like a prick.
Is this broken?
No, it's just fiddly. Here, let me.
Thanks.
No probs. Hold on to the bar. And up we go. You're not pregnant, are you?
Why would you say that?
Calm down, just a question. Back problems, heart condition?
What? Oh, no. Hang on. Why are there seats in this lift? Oh, my God. That was my worst nightmare. I can't believe you didn't tell me it was a drop ride.
It's so much better when you don't know.
It's flipping terrifying. Oh, God, I feel sick. It's not funny.
Well, it is a bit funny. Oh, your face. Oh, my God, I love this lift. I don't like cleaning all the piss off the floor, but actually, top tip, avoid the bellhop job if you can. You're right. You've got a bit green.
I think we need to get out of here.
We haven't been round Dream Street yet. That's the best bit. Look, those are real gas lamps. You can go in all the houses.
I'm going to be
and...
sick.
Oh, shit. Okay. There's a fire exit over here. Come on. Whoa, are you all right?
Normally I'm fine on rides. I am, honestly.
Oh, it's my fault. I should have warned you.
It's okay.
Do you want me to rub your back? I used to do it for my dad sometimes when he got sick. He said it helped.
Thanks. So, Dreamland's kind of intense, isn't it?
Yeah. It tells you a lot about the original owner.
Did you hear that recording? It was a woman. She sounded scared. She said, Katie. Freaked me out. That's what he used to call me.
He?
A guy back home. I babysat his kids. Everyone else called me Kate. He called me Katie.
Is he why you changed your name?
Yeah. We were... together? Sort of. And then I... Actually, it's kind of hard to talk about it.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Do you mind if we
Sure, no, we don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. How are you feeling now?
Well, it's still kind of really raw and I sort of feel... Oh, you mean... No, I'm not going to be sick again.
Oh.
Yeah, fine now. We can go back to training. I mean, not Dreamland. Dreamland was weird. Don't want to go back there again. Shall we go?
Yeah, cool. So, look, me and your sister, we're actually doing a thing tonight.
My sister?
You can come if you want.
You and Betty?
Yeah, we're kind of together, actually.
Oh, right. She didn't tell me.
So, yeah, we were going to go into the park tonight, you know, after dark. Because apparently there's these, like, hidden tunnels underneath the whole park that no one's been in for years. So we're going to try and find the entrance. You want to come?
No. Thanks. I should unpack and read about fluids.
No, you're right. No, it's probably really dangerous anyway. You don't want to be getting involved in that.
You know what? I will come.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great. All right. So there's a hole in the fence behind the carousel. Meet us there at midnight. Just warning you though, seriously, not joking, we get caught, we get fired.
We won't get caught then.
Yeah, but thing is, we might. Are you sure you want to take that risk?
I'm not going home. I'm not going to hide in my room anymore either. Midnight. The carousel. See you there.
Mockery Manor was written and directed by Lindsay Sharman. Music, sound design and editing by Lawrence Owen. Hayley Evanett was JJ and Betty. Peter Sauerbutt was Manager Norton. Lawrence Owen was Parker and additional voices. Lindsay Sharman was the Mystery Woman and additional voices. And Boomer was the Dreamland Cat. For more information about Mockery Manor, search Mockery Manor on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Or visit www.longcatmedia.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish. In June of 2020, an amateur podcaster disappeared from the Carson National Forest while searching for the legendary Finn treasure.
But he was adamant that he was onto something big. He was obsessed. He showed her some hand-drawn map to a treasure out in northern New Mexico.
The Subjective Truth is part treasure hunt, part paranormal docudrama. Starring Addison Peacock as Graham Anderson.
Back at home, I placed the box on the counter, and I just stared at it for a while. You'd never be able to guess its social impact on the human race by looking at its simplistic design.
UFOs, ghosts, reincarnation, and liars. This is The Subjective Truth. Subscribe now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.